to start the meeting. Today is Monday, March 12, 2012. Welcome to the Immigrant Rights Full Commission meeting. My name is Felix Fuentes, and I will be presiding the meeting. And I would like to call the meeting to order. So, Ms. Chao, do we have a quorum?
Commissioner Chi.
Present.
Commissioner Cole.
Present.
Commissioner Insani. Commissioner Fuentes.
Present.
Commissioner Gaime.
Here.
Commissioner Hale. Commissioner Kong.
Here.
Commissioner Maldonado.
Here.
Commissioner Moloditskaya.
Here.
Commissioner Moses.
Here.
Commissioner Ng. Commissioner Paz. Commissioner Tom is excused, and the commission has a quorum.
Thank you, Michelle. Commissioners, please note that there is a small change in the agenda order tonight. To accommodate the schedule for invited speakers, we adjusted the agenda to show public comments at the end. So let's go to action item number one, that is approval of the previous minutes. Approval of the previous minutes. Are there any changes or corrections to the minutes of the February 13, 2012?
So move.
Second. No correction.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. The motion carries unanimously. Tonight we have a special recognition item. We would like to recognize Commissioner Angus McCarthy, who is leaving us because was appointed by the mayor to join the building permits commission. Commissioner McCarthy was an immigrant rights commissioner since 2006, and the commission chair since 2009. Under his leadership ambition, the commission was able to achieve many goals. He will be missed, but we are sure that he will be a great asset to the permits commission and will continue serving our city in his capacity. We have a special certificate this evening. Commissioner McCarthy, would you like to say a few words?
Well, you know, I've never been short of a few words, but thank you so much for that. Angus McCarthy, past, I'm very proud. Chair of this great commission, thank you so much. This is a great honor. I never got a gravel. How do we get one of these here?
No.
I think this should be a part of it. Yeah.
No.
Not that we got too rowdy here. First of all, thank you so much, commissioners. Without a doubt, it's been one of the great privileges of my city existence. You came here, as many of us here, and that's what I think what makes me so affectionate about this commission is we're everybody here has kind of walked the shoes or have had families, first generation, who've walked the shoes of the immigrant here that's come to this this great town, which we know as San Francisco. I think when I look back, it's been 6 years. I think I'm most proud of a lot of things, but I think one of the biggest things that I remember as a commission was that instilling of this relevancy. And I think we came a long way in this last 6 years. Demonstrating to our community, and we've had these pockets of successes, these little campaigns where we've kind of gone out to our communities and helped our communities. And I can just think of, and I'm just looking at Felix here, one of them would have been the transit where they were doing all the raids. Then we had this fantastic story of this this woman whose husband came here and who was held by ICE, and we wrote a letter and she was released and went all up to Feinstein, and on we had these kind of really human problems that we addressed and we dealt with it. And my biggest regret is not being able to get the community to understand we're here for them 24/7. And that, I think, is going to be the biggest challenge looking out down the road. We are a sanctuary city of no other city like it in America. And every time I got that opportunity, I always wanted to shout it from the top of my lungs. And, you know, even it's so fitting that we have a commissioner or a supervisor here tonight who has been nothing but a huge advocate, whether it was in the school board or in our daily life or as an advocate for immigrants. And we're blessed when we look at the Board of Supervisors. They are there saying, what do we have to do to help our immigrant community? And I think we're doing our part here as a commission. And I'm so proud of that aspect of it. And I it's a very impressive looking commission as you sit up here, because this is the first time I've talked to you. So there's a lot of commissioners here. So one thinks that we can do a lot of work. And I think The other thing is, as a commission, we need to be accountable to our community, and we need to be consistently reminding ourselves that we have to be involved in our community, and we have to come with the different ideas from our communities. We are that conduit and pipeline to the community. You all knew that I was huge on the immigration debate, and you know, it was a heartbreaker for me, and it still is a heartbreaker that we haven't really got a conclusion on that. But in typical immigration form, I know in my heart and soul, because we're the backbone of this country, something will happen, but it's going to take time, and it might be piecemealed. And I think, as an immigrant advocate, I always will tell you, something is better than nothing. Always fight for something, get something, make that deal, because the next deal will be that little bit easier. That will be the one that I will continue as an immigrant, and I'll always be very involved in that. As most of you know, I'm going to the Building Commission. It's the world I live in. It's the builders, and there's plenty of immigrants there. As a matter of fact, this last week has been tough out in the streets in San Francisco and in the building community, and this is something I want to bring up. Maybe we could put it in new business, is that EDD, the Contractor State Licenses Board, and I believe Cal OSHA, which are they're great departments, they have to do their job, but they've been raiding jobs, and they have been pulling people in and checking their IDs and checking who they are. And there's been about 4 jobs hit. I believe there's been another 3 jobs hit today, which is happening up on the Pacific Heights side. And what I'm understanding is that ICE then does come in after the EDD have been there, and they've been lifting. So we've had mixed reports. We're trying to identify that through my Irish Pastoral Centre, which I'm very involved in. So as a commission, we can alert our Board of Supervisors in some form of letter to let them know that, you know, we understand they have to do their job, but when they're crossing over into the immigrant, and especially now, for the first time in 6 years maybe, we have a chance, people are going back to work, jobs are starting, and to have this going on just makes no sense whatsoever. Obviously, jobs have to be safe, immigrant workers have to be protected, and I know all that argument, but the underlying problem I have is that it's undermining construction work, badly needed jobs for this city right now. So if I may, I'd like to leave that with you. I am very honoured, privileged. Thank you all for your support. I look at this commission. It is a strong, strong commission. And not only is it a strong commission, but it's got the strongest staff support. Adrian, I cannot talk enough about you. You were the best thing that ever happened to this commission, and I mean that. You came in with your super duper organized skills and whipped us into shape and got us in a place where we needed to be so we could be effective. And we were always kind of loosey-goosey sometimes with our way we approach things. You guided us and you put us where we needed to be so we could be most effective, and I appreciate that. And I think as you look at your staff, you have incredible staff, and they stay by you and support you. And I know you have to wear, and I want to leave one thing with the commission, is Adrian has to wear a lot of hats, because she's the go-to person at City Hall, because she knows how to get things done. And sometimes it's tough to do everything. And when she asks for a little bit of relief so that she can keep everybody happy, because that's in her DNA, and she does it as a city employee every day, and a great director, please give her the room to do that. She is our best ally we have in this commission, and I just want to thank her and her staff for all her work. You've always been so accommodating to me, and you've always given me the right guidance needed. And I thank this, and I'm very proud of this commission, and I will be coming back to you with issues and agendas over the years. So no goodbyes. I'll be around. Thank you so much.
Okay. Right. Are there any brief comments from the commissioner? Because we have Supervisor Kim that is going to be next speaking now. All right. Any comments? So again, are there any brief comments from the commissioners regarding Commissioner McCarthy? Or?
Thank you so much, Commissioner McCarthy. Thank you for leadership. And I know that you will always be here in spirit and in action, too.
I'd like to thank Angus McCarthy for always being here. You were someone we could rely on. Mm-hmm. You know, some people were not sure whether they're going to be here or not, but you were someone we could always be sure we'd be here and know what to do next. And that's very helpful.
I just want to thank MacArthur. I know we came in together many years ago. Here you are. You've been really great. We are really going to miss that sweet, sweet accent of yours.
That's it. Okay, let's move to item number four. We are lucky to have Supervisor Jen Kim tonight with us, and also we have Matias Mormino, who is going to be doing a presentation about the Safe San Francisco Civil Rights Ordinance. So, please.
Thank you. Thank you for all of your work. It's actually really great to see everyone in front of me, because I got to confirm some of you through our Rules Committee, but it's nice to actually see the diversity and also the strength of our Immigrant Rights Commission as I see them all seated together. So thank you so much for inviting me to hear me to talk about an ordinance that our office introduced in late January. And we actually have copies of the ordinance if you don't have it in front of you, and also you do already. And we have a one-pager from the ACLU as well. Do you have that too?
Okay. Have that too.
I'm sorry. We actually brought additional copies if you had any. We have 73 organizations that have now signed on in support of this ordinance. So the ordinance is titled the Safe San Francisco Civil Rights Ordinance. It was an ordinance that came out of the work of the Coalition for Safe San Francisco, which includes many organizations that we know, including the ACLU, Asian Law Caucus, Arab American Resource Center. And these organizations know very well the importance of protecting our civil rights and liberties of all of our residents, as well as combating racial profiling. Our South Asian, Arab, and Muslim neighbors want to know that our police officers will not engage in surveillance or infiltration without cause. And that's what this ordinance is really the result of. It happened over 2 years. The coalition worked to document concerns and bring them forward. And they worked with the Human Rights Commission to hold a major hearing in 2010 along with the Police Commission, which resulted in a comprehensive report that in 2011 the Board of Supervisors endorsed. And the board's resolution made clear that, quote, "Committee members are concerned about the criminalization of their identity and guilt by association becoming the standard for policing and national security strategies." After this report came forward in April, the coalition came to us with one of the recommendations in August, which was to actually codify a framework within our police department that would respect our civil liberties. The main issue being, of course, that we do not begin investigations without reasonable suspicion of criminal activity, kind of a basic standard for how we do investigations here in San Francisco. And we also believe that it's important to codify that in our code so our communities know that their rights are protected in written law. So that is the ordinance that is before us today. We currently have 5 other co-sponsors other than myself. And the purpose of the legislation is really to restore local control, civilian oversight, and transparency over our local participation with FBI intelligence gathering. And just to be really clear, we base it off of 2 frameworks. One is a framework that has been modeled in Portland, and that was passed recently, and the mayor of Portland has been very active in reaching out to our mayor and, of course, many of our supervisors to talk about how it has impacted counterterrorism work in Portland, and he has reassured us that it has not impacted the work of counterterrorism negatively. And I want to be really clear that we're not trying to attack counterterrorism work and the work of our public safety officers. We just really want to ensure that we are protecting our constituents and our residents around safety. So that is what's before. And I'm sorry, and also the framework that we are codifying was really the framework that was in place up until 2007, too. So this was what Mayor Willie Brown supported and endorsed, and this was the MOU that he had signed with the FBI and our previous police chief. So we're codifying what had been in existence prior to 2007. More than happy to answer any questions.
Any questions, commissioners, or comments?
Will we have any problem if the Board of Supervisors passes this? Will the mayor sign it is one question, and the other one is, will Justice Department come down on us for some way?
You know, so the fear is that the Justice Department will come down on the city of San Francisco for passing this ordinance. But I'll say two things. A, actually, this ordinance doesn't impact the current MOU. It impacts all future MOUs that we sign with the FBI. So in some ways, you know, there is a little less assurance in terms of what's happening currently, although the chief has put police orders 8.10 in effect in the current JTTF activities. And he says that that will protect our residents, because all of his officers will have to abide by, you know, their rules, our rules around investigations. So he states that what is currently in place does protect what we're trying to put codify for future MOUs. The second issue is that City of Portland did do exactly this, and it did not impact their relationship with the Department of Justice. And no, I do not know if the mayor will sign this. But we are hopeful that he will. And we would love your support.
Yes.
Yes.
Any more comments, commissioners, or? Can I have a commissioner call?
Well, so if no one has any more comments, or
yeah,
they need, we need more.
Yeah, if there is no, can we have a motion to approve the resolution?
Can we do that?
Well, I believe, Chair, that Commissioner Koh is going to introduce
the resolution
To support the ordinance.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you just received it, so I know it's hard to read that fast, mm-hmm. but it speaks to both the spirit and specific points of the ordinance, which will, as Supervisor Kim just laid out, protect civil rights and ensure that the civil rights of all San Franciscans, immigrant and non-immigrant, really, are protected in the relationship between the SFPD and mm-hmm. the FBI. So I guess, do you want a chance to read it through? The idea is, okay.
No, it's so simple.
Mm-hmm. And just to reiterate on Commissioner Cole's point, you know, historically we have evidence that secret surveillances were done not just in, you know, as we currently know in our South Asian Muslim Arab community, but we have a long history of this in our LGBT community, in our African American community, in our Chinese American community. And it's been around multiple sets of, you know, profiling. It could be religious, it could be based on your religious belief, it could be based on your political beliefs. And this is just to ensure that our local officers have to abide by local privacy laws and the California State Constitution, which the FBI currently doesn't have to. They are not under our jurisdiction, and our ordinance will not actually impact the work of the FBI in San Francisco, but it will directly impact the work of the officers that we pay via our tax dollars.
Okay. So I'm not sure what the protocol is.
Oh, okay. Maybe it's not helpful for me to talk while people are reading.
No. But can we give you a copy?
We have a copy. So commissioners, just as background, the staff was asked to draft this on your behalf, and we have drafted this and try to make it consistent with the commission's positions on other issues that are related to this. So the bottom line is this resolution supports the ordinance as written. It urges the Board of Supervisors and Mayor to adopt the ordinance and to continue providing leadership to ensure that all federal and local policies are fair, humane, inclusive, and consistent. And this language is consistent with your previous direction and your previous resolutions.
And I actually want to say that I asked for staff support in drafting this resolution as a new commissioner, because I'm not familiar with all the processes and procedures. But it was very clear to me that I attended the hearing last week at the Public Safety Committee of the Board of Supervisors, where dozens and dozens and dozens of immigrant members of the MEMSA community that have spoken. At my first meeting here this fall, we had testimony about experiences of surveillance and civil rights violations that they are experiencing mm-hmm. in a daily way. And it was a very moving, I know Commissioner Hale was there for part of the hearing. It was a very difficult hearing to attend and just listen to, because of the pain and the shame that people were sharing publicly for the first time about what it felt like to be targeted simply because of the mosque that they worshiped at, or their nationality, or where they appeared on an FBI ethnic map of San Francisco. And Karen Korematsu, who many of you may know, the daughter of Fred Korematsu, spoke very eloquently about what it was like to relive today some of the experiences that Japanese Americans faced prior to internment in San Francisco. Japanese Americans experienced in during World War II. So the spirit and the character of the resolution is to affirm San Francisco's respect for the rights of all of its residents, the civil rights of, and religious and cultural rights of all our residents, really, right? To protect people against bias policing, to enforce the spirit and the law of the sanctuary ordinance, and to ensure that city resources aren't used for activities that are in contrary to the city charter and California constitutional protections of civil rights. Mm-hmm. So I want to thank staff actually for responding so quickly to a novice mm-hmm. commissioner's yeah. help and for helping me draft this.
I move that we adopt the resolution as prepared.
Is there a second to the
second.
Resolution?
Yes,
I do. Mm-hmm. I want to ask it. Make one comment. Can we distribute this resolution, if we approve it, to all the members of the Board of Supervisors before noon tomorrow?
Commissioner, once the commission approves this resolution, as your officer, I will certify it tonight, and we had planned to distribute it first thing tomorrow because I believe the vote is tomorrow before the supervisors, yes.
Good.
Fine?
Yes.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, please say nay. The motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Supervisor King. Let's move to...
She get a copy.
Thank you, Supervisor. Thank you for being here. Let's move to action item act number 5. It's a discussion and approval of draft resolution supporting the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals recent ruling to halt deportation proceedings in 5 immigration cases. Commissioner Game and Director Pond. So you.
Commissioners. At the direction of Commissioner Gaime, staff was asked to help draft the second resolution, and this is based on your meeting and the executive committee meeting that took place previously, and it's a resolution commending the recent stay of deportation ruling on the 5 immigration cases by the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 9th Circuit and calling for clear, fair, and consistent federal policies for naturalization applications. In your packages, you should also have the memorandum that was authored by Director Morton, which gives direction to his staff. So this resolution basically calls for the courts to uphold the policy of applying prosecutorial discretion to the 7 plaintiffs in the 5 pending cases, to close their cases permanently, and to allow the plaintiffs to remain in the United States. And it also calls for the federal government to clarify their policies, and they are required to respond to the court by March 19th. So your adoption of this resolution will go on the record prior to their decision. And I think it's important for the commission to weigh in. So according to Director Morton's instructions, undocumented immigrants in the categories that are spelled out in the memorandum are to be assigned low priority in determining their deportation status. And Commissioner Gaime may have more guidance for you on this.
Well, basically, when we were discussing this or talking about this, is what kind of impact will this have on persons who have been living in the United States for several years, and how will they be affected, and how do we think that the law should be applied in the future? And at this point, there hasn't been a straight decision on how it's going to be applied. It's discretionary, and it's asking for a discretionary prosecutorial decision on how to affect these people. And we're asking the Ninth Circuit to be stricter and more in line in stating that we should have more specifics on how decisions should be made by the Department of Homeland Security, because ultimately they're the persons who are able to have this decision because it rests on them. And so we're asking that the guidance be a little bit more clear and fair and consistent.
Are there any questions or comments?
I just want to ask, do we make our position clear that we would like to see more discretion? I mean, these were people who had been sent for deportation who are the Ninth Circuit Court was asking for, right? They are people who'd already been INS or whatever it's this branch is called.
Yeah.
Had already set them for deportation, and yet they had no record.
Yes, but their deportation purpose, maybe I'm misunderstanding your statement or question. And so are we saying where do we stand, or are we saying why were they in deportation proceedings? Because basically you can be in deportation proceedings if you're just illegal. And so I'm not quite sure where you're going with that.
Well, I understand that. But if Immigration Service, if ICE had the same memo from Morton that we have, wouldn't they have let them wouldn't they have not deported them because they had no criminal record? They didn't have any of the things that the president talked about?
Well, these are three different branches that we say are under Department of Homeland Security.
Uh-huh.
So what ICE does is basically, and since we're going on record, I don't want to be so technical, but basically there are several branches.
Yeah.
One is the branch that basically gathers anyone who is illegal. And then it's the chief counsel's office who has the decision-making skills, because once they're detained, the ICE doesn't necessarily have all the knowledge of whether they are deportable or not. I don't know to what extent their database lets them see if they're deportable or not, but more likely than not, their basics is to detain them. And then the chief counsel's office makes the discretionary decision whether they're going to prosecute or not. So that's where it should stop. At this point, though, it went further and then went to EOIR and then went to the Ninth Circuit. And so what we're saying is prior to it going to EOIR, but after ICE, then the chief counsel's office should use their discretionary power to say these people are low risk and shouldn't be deported.
I see. Okay. Just so long as that's clear in what we're saying.
And maybe we can make it clearer.
Well, it is clear from 11 to 18. It explains exactly what happened. And then we're saying that we call up for the fair, appropriate, and consistent application of prosecutorial discretion in all appeals under case consideration, you know, like from now on. I think
that's
your question.
Yeah, I understand that. I mean, just so it's clear, when we send this, what our position is. And from what Commissioner Gaime said, it sounds like it is. And what would be a cover letter, or maybe... Oh, here's a resolution. I'm sorry, we didn't have this in advance.
Yeah, that's the resolution there.
I
is fine.
Didn't have a chance to.
Is that okay? Mm-hmm. Are there any other questions or comments to the proposed resolution? Can I have a motion to approve the resolution?
I'd like to make a motion that we approve it as presented.
Second.
You second it? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, please say nay. So the motion carries unanimously. Let's move to item six is the director staff reports. So, Director Pond.
Commissioners, just a reminder for those of you that need to file your Form 700s. I understand that if you are a new commissioner and just filed in, was it October, Madam Clerk? If you filed a recent Form 700.
Between October and December of last year, then you don't need to file one for this year.
You do not need to file, but for everyone else, including me, we all have to file our annual statements of economic interest.
Yeah.
So please, and you'll get another reminder from staff. And normally staff will walk your paperwork to the ethics office for you, as long as you don't give it to us at the very last minute on April 1st at 4:59 and 59 seconds. We want all our commissioners to be in compliance. And then just a brief report. Staff is really busy right now. We're finalizing the language access ordinance compliance report. Once the commission and the board have reviewed the report, you can decide A, if you want to adopt the report, B, if you want to hold a joint hearing with the Board of Supervisors, and the staff recommends that it would be very useful if the commission did hold a hearing today, this year on language access. We haven't done it for quite a while, and there are a lot of updates. The language services unit is finishing up interpreter services for the last round of redistricting meetings, and we're gearing up now for the mayor's upcoming budget town halls. I believe the schedule is in your package. We printed that up for you. So we will be staffing all of those budget town halls again. And then there are additional meetings, the mayor's coffee time, community coffee sessions. And those, I think it's a somewhat competitive basis. You have to submit your name to 311, and then it's you're chosen randomly. Okay, the staff is also currently writing some grants, two of which are due this Thursday, which is why you see us all scrambling. And then the community ambassadors program's going extremely well. We're operating permanently now in District 10, and the pilot in District 6 is also going well. We now have a total of 22 ambassadors out in the field, and a copy of the evaluation report on the one-year pilot, which we just completed last week, will be available upon request. And I guess Commissioner Moses might have left, but we want to thank him for his support. And that's the staff report.
Any comments?
What is the grant for?
They're for funding for the office to support different activities, and we're hoping to land one so that we can support projects that the commission wants to do. But they're around immigrant integration and innovations in government.
Any more comments? So you're fine. So then let's move to item number seven. It's new business. Is any new business that the commission can discuss? I already passed you, just for you to know, I already passed you a little piece of paper that it basically is what happened with the immigration issues in 2011 and what are the immigration issues and challenges in 2012. There is a brief overview of what happened in the 25 states who introduced a legislation imitating core elements of Arizona's SF 1020. And also it talks about what can we wait for 2012. Like we are talking about, again, we want to see more laws inspired by Arizona SB 1070, laws mandating e-verify enrollment and use, laws requiring applicants for public benefits to verify their citizenship or immigration status, and laws addressing immigrant access to higher education. Another big one would be the laws, law enforcement. That will be playing a big role in the BASIC 2012, especially with the Secure Community Program. There is a brief explanation of what the Secure Community Program is and how it's affecting us. And also, the document also shows statewide and local in San Francisco, some of the biggest issues affecting the immigrant communities right now are secure communities, number one, E-Verify, Social Security Administration NOMASH letters, because this is the time when everybody fighting for taxes. I know the employers are getting letters from the Social Security, and they've been firing workers because the name doesn't match with the Social Security. And we also have the race profiling cases. We know that there is a state legislative bill regarding secure communities. It is AB 1021 that was presented by Tom Amiano. 1081, yes. AB 81, Tonamiano, and already passes the House for 47 votes, but still hasn't passed the Senate, I believe. So this is just a brief, it's a summary of what we're going to be seeing. We know that there are many more issues, but as we discuss in the annual planning session, the executive committee will decide the priorities to influence policy on a local and a state level. That's what we decided in that committee. So if you have more ideas, just present it to us and we can discuss it in the executive committee meeting next time. So.
Yeah, I'd like to suggest that we write a letter in support of 1081, which we could approve at our next meeting. I'm not gonna be at executive committee, but we had thought that Amiano maybe dropped the bill because we had supported opting out when it was on the local level, and his bill initially, that's what he was going to ask for, but it has changed, and I think we certainly want to see it improved the way it's being implemented. The California Immigrant Policy Center says that they call it the Trust Act, and they said it would be the first state-level proposal in the nation to set reasonable limits for local responses to immigration hold requests that detain members, community members for deportation. So, again, Assemblyman Amiano is out trying to do something that no one else is, and we need more information on it. But I hope we can get it and do that by the next meeting because legislation will move pretty fast. And the other issue that's not mentioned is the CalWORKS bill that California Immigrant Policy Center says it has a disproportionate impact on Latino families, and 54% of CalWORKS recipients are Latinos and 77% are people of color, and that it proposes to reduce CalWORKS time from 48 to 24 months. That's by half, and to limit services, and adults will lose aid, and children's assistance would be reduced to 1987 levels. So California Immigrant Policy recommends that we ask legislators to reject the governor's proposal because it will increase child poverty and leave California children hungry and homeless. So I just hope we'll consider those. I realize we can't take action now, but get some more information on them.
Yeah, we will. Like, I promise you are going to be investigating more about it, and probably for the next meeting or when you come back, I have some more information for you. Because I did this over the weekend, and I'm going to try to do it. Any more new business?
I'd just like to mention that Immigrants' Rights, Immigrant Day in Sacramento this year is May 21st. So we'll be asked to be a co-sponsor if we are still on their mailing list, and hopefully there'll be further information about how to participate.
Yeah, that would be nice to do what we did last year. Like a couple of us with Commissioner McCarthy, we went to Sacramento, and we were visiting the legislators, like especially like Republicans, trying to convince them to, you know, help us with the immigration issue. So it would be great if we can do it again this year, and with more of us, we can go, that would be more powerful, so.
Commissioners, we'll be glad to calendar this for the next executive committee meeting so that you can then take action at your next full commission meeting.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yes, Commissioner Maldonado.
Can we also look into what Commissioner McCarthy mentioned about ICE raiding job sites? I think
Kalosha.
The Kalosha. I had not heard about it.
No.
And I'm very surprised because we do, you know, I mean, in my work, we do have a close relationship with labor, and, you know, I haven't heard about it.
Yeah.
But it's something to look into.
So are we asking, so add to the question of E-Verify and Social Security, this question of local state agencies in addition to ICE, because what Commissioner McCarthy was actually talking about was EDD and Kalosha raiding job sites, and then bringing in or signaling to ICE. That's how I understood what. So we could ask for more information about that, because that would be significant. And then also Commissioner Hale's suggesting that we include in one of these, as one of the bullet point items, access to public services and public assistance programs, because we also know that food stamps was another thing
that's
been cut to non-citizens, for example. There's some of these are federal programs, but we need to have an understanding of the local impact of both federal and state cuts, the disproportionate impact that may be experienced by immigrants.
People, I mentioned that too. Well, it was Washington State, and California is an exception. They fear it's part of a national trend, and that if we start eliminating legal immigrants, then that is a bad sign. That would mean, well, you don't have to be a citizen to pay taxes, is always my rationale, and you don't have to be a citizen. You don't have to speak English to pay taxes either. So if you pay taxes, and as far as I can tell, most everybody does, then you should be entitled to use the services that are paid for by taxes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, as you know, we move public comments to the end because we try to accommodate the presenters. So. Are there any members of the public who wish to address the commission on items not appearing on the agenda? Hearing and seeing none, public comments are now closed. And now the meeting is adjourned. That was a quick meeting tonight. Thank you.
Good job. Very efficient.